Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we take a little bit of a break from all the debt ceiling debate here in Washington, but certainly there's a little bit of an element to it in our first martini of the day, because it's actually someone who likes Harry Reid who is now lashing out at the president, his poor handling of the economy. You see him once in a while, I think, talking to folks like Neil Cavuto. It's Steve Wynn of Wynn Resorts. He's a big casino mogul in Las Vegas. And I think he probably tends to the fiscally conservative side. Most entrepreneurs and businessmen do. But he's certainly middle of the road enough and even tilting to the left enough on other issues that he goes with Harry Reid. So this is him at a conference call just yesterday talking about what he sees as the biggest problems with the economy right now.
This administration is the greatest wet blanket to business and progress and job creation in my lifetime. And I can prove it. And I could spend the next 3 hours giving you examples of all of us in this marketplace that are frightened to death about all the new regulations, our health care costs escalate.
And he's not done yet.
And, you know, a lot of people don't want to say that. They say, oh, God, don't be attacking Obama. Well, this is Obama's deal. And it's Obama that's responsible for this fear in America.
Well, that pretty much lays it right out there, Jim. Obviously, this is one man's opinion, one very wealthy man who has a pretty good finger on the pulse of the business community in his state, which is struggling financially and economically. And I think it's a little bit of a microcosm for what's happening nationwide. I know you think this is pretty interesting, largely due to the fact that this is a guy who's not a rabid partisan lashing out like this. But he makes good points, clearly on regulations, clearly on the impacts of Obamacare. And I think the more attention that gets paid to this, the better it'll be for us next year.
Yeah, and note the venue. This is an earnings report conference call. The quarter is done. Steve Wynn is the CEO of saying how Wynn Resorts is doing. And if you look at the whole transcript, he spends a lot of time saying, oh, our profits are up in this area. We're having a tough quarter in that area. And then I guess somehow the topic just turns to, I guess the future is Las Vegas. And he begins by saying, I believe in Las Vegas. I think its best days are ahead of it. Now, as soon as I heard that, one of the things I thought of was Mitt Romney's slogan, I believe in America, which many people are saying sounds a bit like the opening scene of The Godfather. But nonetheless, it's an interesting expression of hope in a hopeless time when you think about the president who ran on the theme of hope and change. And again, Wynn is not this rabid right-wing partisan. And so I think the idea that, being asked about the future of Las Vegas, clearly it hit a vein or hit a nerve with him, which he is just, pouring out his frustration with a president that he voted for. So I think what's intriguing about this is the possibility that criticism of Obama might be going much more mainstream and just might become something that if you're in business, you look at this administration and say, they're just no good for us. They're not helpful, and pretty vivid language of the greatest wet blanket, in his lifetime and all of that. And, specifically talking about healthcare costs escalating, which was what Obamacare was supposed to prevent. So I think you will see a bit of demonization of Steve Wynn going on in the near future because, as soon as you speak out against this, he says, they'll say, don't be attacking Obama. It's plain, blunt language. This is Obama's deal and it's Obama that's responsible for this fear in America. I mean, if you and I had been writing up talking points, Greg, I don't think we could come up with anything more vivid and illustrative than that.
Jim, I don't know a whole lot about Steve Wynn other than these comments and a few other things he's expressed over the last few months about his frustration on the economy. So I'm not sure he'll be a major player in the campaign. But like you said, it could be a tipping of the iceberg. And we'll see just how prominent of a role he has in the mainstream media. And speaking of the mainstream media here, as we shift to our second martini, or bad martini, is the kind of huge and kind of puzzling case involving News Corporation and its phone hacking scandal of the British girl who died, and apparently it goes to 9/11 victims and their phones back a decade ago, and possibly those connected with the London subway bombings of several years ago. The News of the World tabloid is shut down. Its editor now in custody. The London police chief is stepping down. So clearly there's something going on here, but it's certainly clear from MSNBC and other outlets that their main goal, regardless of what the facts are, is to crush the News Corp, Rupert Murdoch empire, and in turn Fox News. But the question is whether or not there's actually a lot of smoke or even fire here that actually goes all the way back to Rupert Murdoch, or whether he's just got such a huge empire that anything like this is bound to pop up in one of his entities.
Yeah, it took several milliseconds for a couple angry lefties to start sending me emails of, why are you ignoring this story? Generally ignored them as I ignored the story. But I basically also had the sense that, well, because I'm not the media guy, you know, it's not my beat. It's, you know, at this point it was the early versions of this story were basically, you know, mischief and bad behavior on the part of a London tabloid, which isn't the most shocking turn of events we've ever seen. The idea of Fleet Street having some guys being a little overzealous in pursuit of the story. But then, as you know, the scale of it became clearer, and it was, as mentioned, you know, 9/11 victims, celebrities, apparently even Gordon Brown getting into his financial things. I mean, this was hacking. This was computer crime. And so my attitude from, you know, day one has been, well, that's what cops are there for, and, you know, let them investigate. Now the possibility that perhaps Scotland Yard was either helping or looking the other way, or allegations of bribery, et cetera. So on the one hand, you know, my attitude would be, look, if crimes are committed, dig into it. I'm glad Parliament is looking at it in the UK. Unsurprisingly, because it involves News Corp, which is a large conglomerate that includes, you know, not just several British papers, but also the New York Post, the Weekly Standard, Fox News Channel, also, I believe, 20th Century Fox. I mean, you know, the movie studio. So and Fox Channel, you know, Fox Network. I mean,
Wall Street Journal. Yeah, lots of places.
A Wall Street Journal, a giant entity, you know. Everybody's going to have a certain amount of guilt by association in this. And so, obviously, I don't think you could say that the Wall Street Journal is ignoring this. I mean, certainly they've had on the front page for quite a few days. I think Fox News Channel has covered this. I know this is going to end with some deranged lefty calling for Fox News to be banned. And it's unfortunate that this is one of those things where it sounds like, at least as far as we know, the perhaps more salacious or tabloidy branches of the News Corp empire were engaged in these sorts of things. And the more reliable ones, as far as we know, are not. There's going to be a lot of attempts to guilt the better wings of News Corp with the actions of the bad wings. I don't know how this shakes out. I just know that it's unfortunate. And obviously, you know, anybody who broke the law should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. If there's police corruption, that's really disturbing. As far as we've seen, there's nothing that's happened on this side of the pond, so to speak, to make it a real crisis, you know, real crisis. But that doesn't mean that, you know, certain folks won't try to blur that distinction. So we will see what happens. Obviously, there's a lot of point scoring and dancing in the end zone of this. Speaking as a guy who is not News Corp affiliated, you know, I can't take any pleasure in the competition having some rough times. We will see how this shakes out, and I guess I just hope people keep perspective in all this.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, especially as we get closer and closer to an election year, and anytime the word Rupert Murdoch and potential scandal are involved with one another, you know the lefties, as you've already noted, will be out frothing at the mouth over this one. Of course, they already are. It's fun to watch on MSNBC as every story related to this includes the words Murdoch and Fox News in the lead paragraph of whatever the story is. But anyway, on to our third and crazy martini today, and this relates to a story from the Daily Caller, and it focuses on Minnesota Congresswoman and Republican presidential hopeful Michelle Bachmann, and apparently, Jim, she's unlike many other Americans. She actually suffers from migraine headaches. This is such a rare problem that nobody can really relate to this, I guess. And so the story goes on that she gets knocked flat whenever she has these migraines. She's on some massive pill regimen. At least that's what we're led to believe here. Her current spokespeople say that that is a gross exaggeration of what happens, although she does suffer from migraines. So I guess it's left to the rest of us to determine whether or not this is just a piece that does not wish to help Michelle Bachmann's campaign in any way, or whether this actually could be an issue if she were to win the nomination or even the presidency.
Yeah, one of the problems is the headline and opening paragraph are pretty vivid, you know, that she's left incapacitated and dependent on pills and et cetera. And then you read into it and it sounds like, you know, a health complication. It sounds like it may be stress-induced or stress-related. But the idea of hospitalization, it looks like it was, you know, three or four times in the past 5 years. So it's not like this is a, you know, constantly dealing with health issues. Well, I'm one of those guys who believes that you probably should give candidates a fairly wide berth in regarding health issues. I mean, unless it's clearly debilitating. This country survived the Kennedy presidency in which he was getting, you know, all kinds of medication to deal with chronic back pain. Dealt with, you know, Reagan getting shot and him being able to be president throughout the recovery process there. So the idea that somehow Michelle Bachmann, and the other thing is that this doesn't jive very well with what we know of Michelle Bachmann, because it's not like you could say, well, it's a shame that this these terrible headaches have prevented her from having an active career in Congress. It's kept her out of the spotlight. She just doesn't seem to have much energy to do a lot of events around the country. Greg, don't you look at it and think, God, you know, if she didn't have these headaches, imagine how many foster kids she'd be able to take care of, huh? Yeah, so the idea that this is somehow rendering her incapacitated, I kind of feel like the burden of proof is on the Daily Caller or those who would make that accusation, because she certainly seems active from here. Now, she's going to go into a campaign, and campaigning is a physically challenging endurance race. People have compared it to running a marathon. She's going to be doing events morning, noon, and night, and if they're stress-related, presidential candidates tend to deal with a great deal of stress. So we will see whether there really is a real issue here. Clearly, she doesn't think it's much of an issue because otherwise she wouldn't be running. It'll be interesting to see if at some point she gets questions about this and she talks in greater detail about it. The unnamed sources in the story seem to indicate that they're really concerned about this, and the idea that, you know, if she were president, she wouldn't be able to handle her physical health, would not be able to stand the stress of the job. Well, they're concerned enough to offer anonymous quotes, but not concerned enough to go on the record. You know, I fear for the future of the nation, Greg. That's why I must remain anonymous.
Exactly right.
I think this woman is completely incapable of handling the presidency, but I'm still working for her. You know, there's a contradiction there that doesn't really add up. And so I think it kind of, you know, the story emits an odor. Clearly she has migraines, and you can imagine that being a great challenge to, you know, getting through your day, never mind handling the stress of the presidency. But barring any indication this is a more serious problem, it feels like, you know, the next great expose will be on that hangnail of Tim Pawlenty's that just refuses to heal.
Yeah, I think this is just another sign that there are a lot of folks out there, mainly, I guess, the sources in this story, potentially, even if they are on one level concerned. The two big stories about Michelle Bachmann this week have had nothing to do with the actual challenges facing the country right now. Instead, those who apparently don't like her very much or are concerned about her tend to focus more on her husband's counseling practice and on the fact that she deals with migraine headaches. So, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.